Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These days, Lutherans don't do nearly enough good works, nor do we talk about it very much. Worse yet, we Lutherans sometimes even give the impression that we actually discourage good works in the life of the Christian. Lutherans have this fear that if they say anything good about good works, that others may misconstrue their intent and hear them as promoting some kind of works righteousness. This persistent fear among Lutherans of placing any importance on good works has often resulted in Lutherans placing no importance on doing good works. Now, to be fair, Lutherans have some justifiable concern when it comes to the subject of good works. After all, the entire Lutheran Reformation was predicated on defending this pivotal biblical truth that we poor sinners are justified in God's sight by the redeeming work of Christ alone, without our own failed works and vain attempts to get right with God. Since justification by grace, apart from our doing works of the law, is so fundamentally important to Christianity, because it is such a passionate issue for Lutherans, we can understand how any positive talk about good works in the life of a Christian is often taken by Lutherans as a direct assault on Christianity's most important doctrine, that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, without our works. For we Lutherans hold dear that our salvation has been forever accomplished by the redemptive work of Christ and what he did through his life, death, and resurrection. Instead of any works that you or I have done or should have done or promise the Lord that we will do. But it wasn't always this way among Lutherans. Lutherans have not always had such theological paranoia over doing good works. Luther and that next generation of Lutheran theologians that God raised up after him, they believed, they taught, they confessed that when good works are kept in their place, that good works have an important place in the life of every Christian. Our Lutheran confessions never say or suggest anywhere that good works are necessary for salvation. And yet, our Lutheran confessions, in faithfulness to Scripture, do teach everywhere that nevertheless, good works are a necessary part of Christian faith and life. And so you and I must maintain this biblical distinction that we are saved purely by faith alone, and yet faith is never really alone. For true faith always results in good works, in much the same way as a good tree always brings forth good fruit. And so true faith towards God will always, of necessity, result in love and good works done for the good of our neighbor. And so faith and works both have important roles to play in Christianity. However, they have very different roles to play. Faith, trust in the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross, instead of any of our own weak efforts to please God. Faith alone in what Jesus has done for us is what justifies us before God and sustains a right relationship with God and guarantees our future in heaven. To the contrary, however, good works, the good works that we Christians do, are not done for the benefit of God, but for the benefit and blessing of our neighbor here on earth, and now in this life. And so faith and works have vastly different aims and goals. For faith deals with our vertical relationship, where our eternal God in heaven establishes and maintains a relationship with us based on faith. While doing good works pertains to those horizontal relationships that you and I initiate with other human beings while we live on this earth. Christians do good works, but they do them without any thought of earning earthly or eternal blessings. True good works are rather the happy result of knowing by faith that you and I already have peace with God, along with all of God's other blessings through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians already have heaven as an undeserved and unearned gift that they humbly but happily receive by faith. This incredible gift that God gives to us and to all who believe, it has already been bought and paid for by the atoning work of God's Son upon the cross. This incredible work done for us by Christ has also been applied already to you and me in the waters of holy baptism, so that as Christians, you and I already possess forgiveness, life, and salvation. So why would any of us ever think that we needed to do good works for the purpose of obtaining what God has already so freely given to us? True Christians don't do good works in exchange for heaven. And additionally, to ever imagine that our works might be able to save us would be the supreme insult to Christ for the impossible work that he nevertheless has done for us by exchanging his perfect life for our very imperfect lives. To take credit for any of this for ourselves, for this achievement, would be to rob our Christ, our Lord Christ, of his glory. No, our works only serve God's higher purpose when we Christians do good works freely and without coercion, in the full knowledge that we are saved by grace, that faith alone justifies, and that works merely serve our neighbor and provide proof that our faith is true and living. In this very same letter to the Ephesians, Paul says that those who have been given this confidence of faith, to know that they are saved by grace without their works, it is these people who are God's workmanship, who have been created through Christ to do good works. For you see, the Bible says that you and I find these new and godly impulses and desires to obey God, to serve and love others with our works, because of the God who first loved us and gave himself for us. And so there is a huge difference between faith and works. Faith is purely passive. And when I say that, what I mean is faith, like a beggar, merely passively receives God's love that was accomplished by Christ. While works, on the other hand, are the way that you and I as Christians actively show our love for others in Jesus' name. Once we have been made alive by Christ, we Christians become active and busy doing good works. Good works are necessary for this reason, that others can't see into your hearts as God can. And so while faith is hidden within the heart, that faith that justifies you before God, good works are what make faith visible to our neighbor in a way that proves to them that our faith in Jesus is authentic by the Christian actions they see in us. So now, hopefully, all of this is clarified and we can lay our Lutheran fears to rest. But now we need to hear a very important point. To all Christians who are living in these most perilous times, my friends, the call has come. It is time to do good works. In these uncertain days, I realize I'm one of you. I realize that it is instinctive for all of us to fear all the evil that we see around us in the world, especially as it gathers momentum and it gains headway. Evil is so prevalent, and one of the greatest evils of our times is that so many in our culture tell us there is no God, therefore there is no right or wrong, and therefore how you live no longer matters. And yet our epistle for today says very differently. Let no one deceive you with such empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon those who live lives of disobedience. The Apostle Paul also says, have nothing to do with those who say such things. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. But instead, Paul says, expose them. What is the best way to expose evil works? By doing good works. This is why the world hates Christians and Christianity, because those of us who are living in the light of Christ expose the darkness of their deeds. As Christians, we find ourselves increasingly being persecuted by the state religion of secular atheism. As Christians, we continue to hear of other Christians who are facing martyrdom in the Middle East, of those being beheaded by ISIS. As Christians, we see how our culture and our courts now actively promote and protect same-sex marriage, an abomination to God, and how that same group in our culture will soon punish anyone who objects on grounds of moral conscience. As Christians, we see Planned Parenthood that has recently been caught on video talking so callously and casually about a profit they are making by selling off body parts of dead babies that have been aborted. And it makes us wonder, what are we as Christians supposed to do? How are we supposed to respond to this explosion of evil? Certainly, God has not called us to become so paralyzed by fear and of impending doom that we freeze in our tracks and do nothing. I have also learned over the years that our own human anger and our personal outrage does not accomplish God's purposes in these matters. But instead, St. Paul, speaking with all the authority of the Lord in his letter to the church at Ephesus, writes this: Christians, look carefully at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. And so, my friends in Christ, as this world languishes in its unbelief, how are the faithful, that is, those with faith, supposed to make the most of the remaining time that you and I have on this earth before the Lord returns to judge the living and the dead? You and I are to make the most of our remaining time on earth by living clearly as children of the light, instead of taking part in the unfruitful works of darkness, and by doing good works that allows Christ to shine through us, so that people see that Christ lives in us. For as sin and as Satan increase their stranglehold on the whole population of this planet, the answer is not to panic or despair as the world descends further and further into darkness. My friends, it is time for Christ's light to shine in us and through us. And how this is best done is when we commend our fears about the future to God, confess Christ along with all that he has taught us, and then continue to do good in his name. For the fruit or the result of living that way in the light of Christ is that you and I will focus all of our energy and effort on what Paul says is good and right and true. And all that is good and all that is right and all that is true, we know, begins and ends by dwelling richly in Christ. And so, instead of being filled with fear, the apostle of our Lord encourages us instead to be filled with the Spirit, which, by the way, requires reading God's word constantly, so that you and I might encourage one another with the scriptures that we read together and the hymns that we sing together in Christian worship. My friends in Christ, I am not suggesting that you do not do good works, but it is time to redouble our efforts as we do good works out of love for our neighbor and in gratitude for Jesus. For if we continue to live no differently than the world, a world that is living for evil and dying in its sins, then what real purpose are we serving? But by letting our light shine, by doing good works in this dark world, this is how God intends in these last days to separate the light from the darkness, much as he did in those first days of creation. But if we simply join in and blend in with the world, then we become part of the problem instead of part of Christ's solution. However, if we stand in opposition to the darkness by walking in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus, God's Son, not only cleanses us from sin, but it piques the interest of others because they are attracted by the good that they see Christ doing in us, to investigate the light that is Christ shining through us. And so when they come close enough that we may reach out and touch their lives in some way by loving them, by serving them, by doing good works for them in Jesus' name, they too may be made alive in Christ and live in that light which will overcome and indeed has overcome this dark, foreboding, fallen, and frightening world. May God grant it to each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.